Well, any other? I don't want to miss anybody. Okay, going once, going twice. All right. Genesis, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 7. We continue our study here. As you know, last week we talked about the flood and Noah and the ark, about him finishing it, moving on, and so we're just picking up where that left off here. Chapter 7 of Genesis. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." Hallelujah. This verse has been used as an evangelistic verse by many preachers over the years. It is God's invitation to come into the ark. I believe we're all saved here. And if you're not, we want you to be before you go. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. Amen. And it is God's desire that you be in Christ. It is God's desire that you not go to hell. Amen. Hell was not made for man. It was made for the devil and his angels. When I talk to people about the Lord, they say, "Well, if God's so good, why would he send, you know, people to hell?" And the answer is God sends no one to hell. God built a bridge with two nails on a tree, the cross of Jesus Christ, and all you got to do is cross the bridge. If you don't cross the bridge, then you send yourself to hell. Amen. And so here we have God speaking to Noah, and he says, "Come into the ark." The statement "come" is an invitation to an individual that requires a response. The response is a verb. You walk, you run, you crawl, you respond. You must respond. God will not drag you into the ark, nor will he drag you into Christ. The "come" requires a response. Jesus used this term when he said, "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There is no reason why a person cannot find the peace of God that passes understanding. I'm not saying that we won't have times where our peace can be robbed. I won't say that we won't have times where we can be fearful. I am here to say that Jesus has made an invitation to come. And when we respond, that action, that verb, when we respond to the invitation in faith, then peace that passes understanding is waiting for us. Some of you may have heard some of my testimony from a few years ago when my wife of 25 years left me and then a few months later passed away. And I made it was probably one of the lowest days of my life. And I was upstairs in the bedroom feeling pretty alone, pretty devastated. And I got down by the bed and made an altar, began to pray, and hell was screaming in my ear. Do you understand what I mean by hell screaming in your ear? You know, like you call yourself a preacher, "Where's God now?" And "I thought you said God loved you," and all sorts of things like this. And I would like to tell you that I had some great spiritual response. Actually, I had a desperate response. And all I could pray was, "God, I believe. I believe." And I closed my eyes and I gripped my teeth to block out the voices of hell. And I kept saying, "I believe. I believe." Yeah, you know, sometimes circumstances will not look like God is faithful. Sometimes situations in your life will look like God doesn't love you. Sometimes when all this happens, the devil is always going to be right there to tell you, "Well, if God loved you, you wouldn't be going through this." But I was responding with a verb, an action response to the "come." And it is, "I believe." I'm not boasting. I'm not saying that I'm anything special. I'm saying anyone can respond to the come. And when I did, the most amazing thing happened. All of a sudden, I felt like liquid peace begin to envelope me. I felt like I was having an out-of-body experience. I felt no anxiety at all. I felt no fear at all. I felt no worry at all. I really exactly, you know, we talk about the peace that passes understanding. I'm here to tell you, I was right in the middle of it. I was right in the middle of it. So when God says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, rest being the peace that passes understanding. I'm here to tell you, he's got it to give. I can tell you firsthand. When God told Noah to come into the ark, he was saying, come into the place of safety. He was saying, come into salvation from judgment. He was saying, come into what I, through you, have provided so that you can be secure. Amen? Come into the ark, you and your household, because I've seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Now, he goes on to say, we've pretty much covered that pretty well. You shall take with you seven of each clean animal, a male and a female, two of each animals that are unclean, a male and a female, also seven of each birds of the air, male and female, and keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. Now, I believe that we're living in the last days. I believe we're living in the last of the last of the last of the last days. I believe Jesus is coming very soon. And in the New Testament, Peter told us that the second global judgment would not be by water, but by fire. And that's okay. I don't rejoice at the thought of billions of people being burned any more than the billions that were drowned in Noah's day. But judgment will be coming. And the only way we are going to survive is to be in the ark of God, amen, which is Jesus Christ. In the Bible, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it tells us that there are therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you are in Christ, as Noah was in the ark, there is therefore now no condemnation. Do you realize what that means? That means that when you feel guilty that you maybe lost your temper, or you had a bad thought, or someone cut you off on the road and you gave them a dirty look, it doesn't mean that God's going to send you to hell over that. If you're in Christ, you're in Christ. Amen? You're in him. You are resting inside him. When Noah went in the ark, Noah wasn't perfect. He desired to be like God. The scripture said he was righteous. Didn't say he was perfect. I don't think Noah was perfect. I think Noah probably lost his temper just like you and I did. But he was in the ark when judgment came. And because he was in the ark when judgment came, he was secure from judgment. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, there's no more condemnation. You may lose your temper, you may get upset, you may do something wrong, but you're in Christ. And in Christ, you're secure from the day of judgment. Amen? He goes on to say in Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That means I still sin, but the consequences of the law demanded judgment, but Christ was judged for me. And so now, the penalty of sin was taken upon Jesus at the cross, and now I don't face the penalty of sin because I'm in Christ. I'm in the ark. I'm saved. Is this a license to sin? God forbid, Paul said in Romans 6. It's not a license to sin, but if you sin, there's no condemnation because you're in Christ Jesus. You're in the ark, and you're saved. Hallelujah. That's good news. I mean, you know, how many of you guys have ever known someone who's a Christian and they don't understand grace? So they're always trying to get you to live perfect or threaten hell over you. They don't understand what it means to be in Christ. Because in Christ, I'm secure. Amen. Jesus paid the price. There's no condemnation. Hallelujah. That's good news. In Romans 12:5, it says, so we being many are one body in Christ. See, not only are we not judged being in Christ, not condemned, but we become the body of Christ. That means I'm connected to you and you're connected to me and he's the head. In Christ, we make up the body of Christ. And it's not the church name that hangs out on the sign. It's not the city you live in. The Bible says when we get to heaven, every nation, every kindred, and every tongue will be there. We will be the body of Christ because we are in Christ. We're in the ark. Amen. Praise God. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And that means if you say, well, I'm in Christ, but your only objective is to just be in Christ here, then, you know, that's not what it's all about. See, when Jesus died on the cross for us, he died on the cross to take us up to heaven. Amen. I'm not just living this Christian life because I like to sing and shout and play the drums, although I do. I'm living this Christian life because I'm looking past the physical to the eternal. The Bible says that which is seen is temporal, but that which is not seen is eternal. And Paul said if just being in Christ was just for now, we'd be like, of all men, most miserable, because what's the point? Why do I want to live, try to live for Jesus if this is all there is? But that's not all there is, amen? There is coming a day where we will rise just like the ark rose. There is coming a day where just as judgment comes, we go up. Just as the ark rose above the floods. And there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And glory to God, we're going up, church. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're not miserable. I was telling someone, maybe it was prayer Tuesday night. Some, you know, I'm a Trekkie, and Karen is too, just so you don't think I'm the only weird one here. But anyway, they were telling me at work about some guy who they had his obituary, and he was a Star Trek fan. There was a big article in the paper, and I heard about it from someone that morning, and then later on that afternoon, one of the directors of nursing said, Roger, I saw your obituary in the paper. And I totally blew him away because I said, praise the Lord! And they looked at me like I was crazy. But for a born-again Christian, death is graduation day. Amen. This world is not my home. I'm not wanting to stay here. I'm not, you know, you talk about that to some people, they think, well, this person needs to be committed. They're psychotic. No. I'm in Christ. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace, walk on the streets of glory. What's the next line? This is an old hymn. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Yeah. I want to see him. I want to see him. We're going to rise. Hallelujah. Paul told the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You see, when I'm in Christ, as Noah was in the ark, everything becomes so much simpler. Life isn't nearly as complicated, you know? Sometimes people make it complicated, but Paul said, you know, here's the way it works. Jesus came in the flesh, died, rose on the third day, ascended to heaven, is going to take us with him. That's the gospel. Pretty simple, isn't it? It's so simple a child can understand it, and so profound that scholars marvel at it. We call it the gospel. It means good news. Amen? Good news. And so there's a simplicity of being in Christ. In Galatians 3:28, the Bible tells us that there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen? Aren't you glad that there is no partiality when you're in Christ? You know, we're all the same. Jesus said in the book of Revelation to the church, he said, and you hate the Nicolaitans who I hate. The Nicolaitans were the people who lorded over the lay people in the church. There was this separate class of people. We were the special spiritual giants, and you're the little lay people, and I'll tell you what you need to know. And Jesus said, I hate that. You know, we are all on the same level. The only one who's elevated is Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. We're neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, male nor female, but we are all one in Christ. In the ark, we're all the same. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 1:3, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Not only am I secure in the ark, not only am I, it's simple to be in there, not only are we one in there, but I have so many blessings in Christ. Why would anyone want to jump out of the boat? I mean, we are blessed, amen? Sometimes I just have to shake my head, Lord, I just can't believe how you've blessed me. Now you say, well, I thought you had some rough times. Yeah, I'm not saying we don't have valleys. But you know, God writes the end of the book. We are blessed. We are blessed going in. We're blessed going out. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Blessings follow us. If you sow, you will reap. And you will reap to the degree that you sow. Amen? If you sow with a little teeny spoon, you're going to reap a little teeny spoon. You sow with a big old shovel, you're going to reap a big old shovel. You get what you put into it. That's what my tennis coach used to say. You want to be a tennis star? Spend 12 hours a day on the court. It's kind of hard to do. But you get what you put into it. And God is going to bless you. Amen. One of my favorite verses in the Gospel of John is after the resurrection when Jesus is on the seashore. Inspired the great old hymn, Come and Dine, right? He's got the fish by the fire. And he hollers at him, you caught anything? No. Throw the net on the other side. And they did. They didn't know it was Jesus until this blessing came. They had so many fish, it was about to sink the boat. And John said to Peter, it's the Lord. Sometimes I have people ask me about being blessed. And I just look at them and say what John said. It's just the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Look what the Lord done. Man, I'm blessed. I have two gremlins in my driveway. I'm blessed. Praise God. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When I'm in the ark, I have the mind of Christ. When I'm in the boat, I have the mind of Christ. If I'm in Christ, I have the mind of Christ. I see what he sees. I hear what he hears. He leads me. He guides me. He directs me. If any man be in Christ, I have the mind of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. One day years ago, I was driving to work. Lord said, Harrison, that's my son, been hit by a car. I thought it was the devil. I started rebuking the devil. I didn't realize. You know, sometimes that still small voice, I don't know, maybe you guys can distinguish it, but sometimes I don't know which voice it is. I just know I heard Harrison's been hit by a car. So I started praying, which is probably what the Lord wanted. That night, you know, I wasn't really 100% sure it was the Lord. Was that me or was that God? That night, we're over the dinner table. He's there. He's fine. I thought, man, I must have been my imagination. We're sitting there eating. He was in wrestling. This is when he was in high school at Tahlequah High. He said, Dad, you're not going to believe what happened today. The coach had us jogging by the road, And this car just came by and sideswiped me, and I just went rolling off in the grass. I said, "Are you okay?" He said, "Yeah." I have the mind of Christ. Amen. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press to the mark of the prize. There's a prize. You know, I bet we could get everybody saved if we offered everybody $1 million to come into the ark. The thing about it is, it's more than that. I mean, in heaven, the streets are going to be made out of gold. What's $1 million? If you're in Christ, there's a prize awaiting. There's a reward at the end of the road. Paul said it, compared it to the Greek games, running to get the prize, running to get the laurel leaf, running to get the trophy. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a prize. Paul told Timothy, my time's at hand. I'm about to leave. Henceforth is laid up for me victory. Laid up for me a crown. Whom the Lord will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who are in Christ. There's a prize waiting. I can't wait. Praise God. I actually got about 5,000 of these, but I'm just picking a few. I'll just stop with this in 1 Peter 5:14. Greet one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be to you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, when you're in Christ, you should have love for one another. Amen. You should. And I'm not saying that sometimes people won't rub you the wrong way. But we should just exude the love of God because you're in Christ. That should be a byproduct of it. And back in the first century church, they'd give everybody a smack on the cheek or something, you know. And we give hugs around here. I believe in giving hugs, you know. And, you know, the thought is, you know, if you can't get along with someone, how are you going to get along with them in heaven? You're going to spend eternity with them. You better learn to get along with them now. Amen. You better learn to love your enemies. You better love the unlovable. And you know what? Sometimes God uses sandpaper to rub your rough edges up. So don't jump out of the way. Just say, well, God loves me so much. He brought her in my life, or him in my life, to just rub the rough edges away in Christ. So Noah goes in the ark, and he's required to wait 7 days. You see, my life in Christ is a witness to other people. He didn't just go in the ark and the door shut and the flood came. He went in the ark and 7 days. Now, everybody around him has been waiting for over 100 years for him to get done with this thing, and now it's happened. The day has come. The old man is in the ark. I don't know. Maybe they were selling tickets, you know, popping popcorn. I don't know. But the sad thing is nobody else went in. Now, you and I, we're living in the last days, and we need to make sure that our in Christ life is shining so people can see. Because there is a window of time, and then the door is going to be shut. And so Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives, 8 of them in all, are in the ark for 7 days. And they're waiting. They don't know how long it's going to be. God didn't tell them. He says, go in the ark. And, you know, we don't know. We're waiting. But our life is to be a witness. And so after 7 days, he says, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy all the face of the earth. So then he tells him, and Noah did according to all the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah with his sons and his wives and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the water and the flood. Of the clean animals, of that are unclean, the birds, everything that creeps on the earth, two by two, they went into the ark. And, of course, we've all sang those little songs. Females, male, God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the floods were on the earth. It was in the 600th year on Noah's life, on the second month, 17th day, Eddie. You know, this is, Eddie, what were the other events that happened on this day? This was the, was this the second month, 17th day? The second Passover. Right. They would have a second one. Right. Yeah. So, there it is. And now the rain was on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And on the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth, Noah's wife, the three wives of the sons with them entered in the ark. Then every beast after its kind, all the cattle after its kind, a creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. Now, you know, this thing after its kind is repeated, you know, throughout much of Genesis, because God knew there would be a bunch of stupid people that said that if you reproduce chickens enough, you get a dinosaur. So he just kind of wanted to remind them that, you know, there's DNA here. They reproduce after their kind, right? And they went into the ark, Noah, two by two, and all the flesh of the earth that had breath in its life. And so they entered in male and female, all the flesh, and went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Unlike Hollywood, it was not Noah's feeble hand that closed the door to the ark. It was God. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, I am he that opens the door and no man closes, and he that closes the door and no man opens. And if God shuts the door on you, the door has been shut. You can't jimmy it open. That's why we want to be in Christ now. Amen. And Jesus told in Matthew, the parable of the 10 virgins, that the midnight cry came, but 5 of the virgins were foolish, and they did not keep oil in their lamp, and they did not keep their wick trimmed, and so they missed it. The Lord came, and they missed it. And they knocked on the door, and they wept, but the door was shut to them. It's a very grave thing to be on the wrong side of God's closed door. It's a very safe thing to be on the right side of God's closed door. Before we close, I want to look at one other verse from the book of Zechariah. Zechariah is one of the last prophetic books of the Old Testament. I think it's just before Malachi, if I remember correctly. And I want to look at chapter 3. When we talk about the last days and the coming of the Lord and the ark rising like a type of the rapture of the church, Zechariah chapter 3 comes to mind. And Zechariah chapter 3 says, he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. You see, the Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. You know, you start praying for someone, all hell's going to break loose. You start trying to do something more spiritual than you've done before, all hell's going to break loose. Satan is going to oppose you. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Ooh, I love this. I'd like to preach this. I'd like to preach another hour on this verse right here, but I can't. So, he's talking about Joshua. If you go on to the chapter, you'll read that Joshua has these He's the high priest, and his garments are all dirty, and they give him a clean garments. But I want to focus on this statement here. Here's Joshua, and Satan is opposing him. How many of you guys feel like Satan has opposed you lately? Amen? But God says, is he not a brand plucked from the fire? And what this is, when you look at the ancient Hebrew and what the implications of this brand is they were usually not metal. We tend to think of pokers as metal today, but they were usually made out of a hard wood, and they would use them to stir the fire like a poker, right? So you couldn't leave the thing in the fire because it was made of wood. It would burn. But it's still an instrument in the hands, right? And if it gets too hot, the one who handles the instrument plucks it out of the fire, right? Now, you and I are going to be kings and priests. Joshua was the high priest. And we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. And we're living in the last of the last days, and the rapture of the church is going to be happening very, very soon. But Satan is opposing you. Satan wants to destroy you. But God has a word for you. My hand has you. My hand has you tonight. And you are a poker. You're a brand plucked out of the fire. The devil wanted you to go to hell with him. He wanted you there. He had plans to destroy you. But I know what my plans are, says the Lord. I'm going to give you a future. Amen. And so if any man is in Christ, he is secure. And as the ark ascended, very soon, we will too. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight.